speak to you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Seneca was a Roman philosopher, a politician, and contemporary of the historical Jesus. In his letters to Lucilius, he wrote these words: "Wild animals run from the dangers they actually see, and once they've escaped them, they worry no more. We, however, are tormented alike by what's past and what's to come." Edward is serving time in the Don jail for a securities fraud. Even so, he's still loved by his father, David. One day, David writes Edward a letter: "My dear Edward, I'm so afraid I won't be able to plant anything in the garden in 2023. I fear I'm growing too old to dig it over without your help. I'm so looking forward to your early release. Love from your dad." Edward replied, "Dearest Dad, please don't dig up the garden. That's where I hid the money and the securities. Be patient and wait until I get out. Love as always, Edward." At 4 a.m. in the morning, the police showed up at David's house and dug up the entire garden. 2 days later, David received another letter from Edward. "Dearest Dad, now the soil has been dug over, it should be easier for you to work. Now you can start to plant your garden. It's the best I could do from here. Love you, Dad, Edward." St. Paul said, "Nothing that exists, nothing still to come, nor any power or height or depth, nor any created thing can ever come between us and the love of God." According to David Rico, the psychologist, our major fears are fear of loss, fear of change, fear of letting go and going on with life, fear of self-disclosure, fear of other people, fear of others' feelings, fears of rejection, fear of giving and receiving, the fear of comings and goings, and the fear of being alone. And then he says, these are the conditions for ordinary living. There are four main givens in life, he says. Number one, we're ultimately alone. Number two, things are transitory. Number three, life is unpredictable and often unfair. And suffering seems to be a universal experience. Well, if the world is as David Rico says it is, then there are four things that can't be changed. And accepting that this is the way things are on Earth would be an adult reaction to the world, he believes. So what's the problem according to Rico? When we confront these realities, he says, we tend to behave like scared little kids, not adults. Let's have a look at these four givens. Number one, we're ultimately alone. I was talking to a friend of mine some time ago whose husband had left her. What was her fear? That no one would want to be with her. She was looking for a way to fill up the loneliness so that she wouldn't have to feel it. She didn't believe she could do this for herself, so she was afraid. Number two, things are transitory. The same kind of fear can happen in romantic love. If things in this world are transitory, then a childish reaction to a love gone bad will be to try with all one's might and main to hang on something that isn't working, or search for another romantic experience with someone else with all the thrill of being in love. Rico would argue that things rise, crest, and decline, and that bell-shaped curve seems to characterize all our experiences in life. He says it's normal to go from romance to conflict to a mature commitment. The adult accepts that. The scared child in us does not. Child in us becomes afraid. Thirdly, life is unpredictable and unfair. Well, a mature adult allows that things in this world are unpredictable. I mean, take the world at present. Unpredictable weather patterns, with climate change messing with everything from forest fires, heat waves, floods, tornadoes. Then there are refugees on the march, the world over. Oil spills, garbage in the oceans, a yo-yo stock market, real estate values, pricing houses out of the reach of young people, terrorism, the unnecessary war in Ukraine, just to name a few things that make life unpredictable and seemingly very unfair. You see, from the scared child's perspective, we seek a safe harbor, something, anything to cling on to, a religion, a guru, a belief system, even an addiction. We only feel safe when everything's under control and somebody's taking care of us. Rico says that the adult who lives past the feelings of fear comes to terms with the unpredictability of life, doesn't try to find a way around it. The adult learns to say, well, some things happen according to my plans and others don't. I accept this as a fact of life. He argues that a mature person realizes pretty early in life that life is not fair. The child in us wants everything to be fair. It isn't. The Bible points out that the wicked can prosper and the good can die young. We can hold the belief that we reap what we sow, and that's often the case. That said, the wicked can still prosper and the innocent suffer. And so the child in us wants a just and balancing judgment after this life by an all-just God. We cling to the verse, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If life is unfair and unpredictable, then bad things are going to happen to good people, and good things will happen to bad people. It's the child in us that wants the predictability of fairness and punishment when life is not fair. The adult, perhaps, might look for reformation and transformation. The child in us wants to hit back. One look at the criminal justice system, and we see the problem immediately. It's childishly about revenge and punishment, and does not recognize that mercy is an adult reaction, along with rehabilitation, restorative justice, and transformation. Why don't we get there? We know it's far more expensive to keep people inside, and we carry on because we believe in punishment far more than rehab. Fourth, suffering is a universal experience. Well, one of the dynamics in life is that suffering seems to have a role in building our character. One mature reaction could then be that all the people who brought suffering into our lives somehow were participating in what needed to happen for us to grow. The mature person seeks that soul-building perspective and thus finds a way to forgive. The child in us does not, and holds resentment about the suffering and goes into the victim mentality. Fifth, faith. So if life is transitory, if we're ultimately alone, if life is unpredictable and often unfair, and suffering seems to be a universal experience, where does faith in a providential, loving God come in? In the native traditions, they talk about medicine wheels. Lately, a new wheel has been added called the mistakes wheel. This wheel stresses self-acceptance and acceptance of what is in the universe. In the north part of the wheel, the message reads, learning from our mistakes. In the south part of the wheel, it says, be willing to make as many mistakes as it takes. In the center of the wheel, which represents the essence of the learning, is a spiritual truth, a faith truth. Learning that there is no such thing as a mistake. Barry Neil Kaufman, therapist and author, writes, if we open ourselves to the possibility that all we encounter and do offers us opportunities for learning, then we can make all circumstances useful and fruitful. Certainly, a universe in which such a possibility exists would be called user-friendly. And now I want to present something different. What if the universe is what you and I make it? Since our beliefs are powerful, what about us creating a vision of the universe that we want and then going about collecting evidence to support it? This is Barry Neal Kaufman's thesis. He says, suppose we begin by painting a very bleak picture. We're going to find tons of evidence to support a very negative view of reality. But then again, when we did that, we'd be excluding other parts of reality, like love, happiness, and possible meaning in the world. There would be not much faith in God in that bleak view, except perhaps as a dark deity. However, we could just as easily construct another view and look for evidence to support a user-friendly universe. What about our growing knowledge, space exploration, renewal of decaying structures, resilience in nature despite oil spills, our potential ability to adapt and slow climate change with zero emissions? Babies are born into our world bringing new life. There's enormous technological progress. We're living lives where we experience the most amazing medical cures and breakthroughs. There is very beautiful music made in the world, glorious architecture, breathtaking scenery, the delights of love and laughter and amazing joy. So I ask you this morning, which view of the world is true? Kaufman says neither. You see, explanations and evidence don't constitute truth. They merely uphold or verify someone's position. He says that in a court of law, truth remains elusive, while evidence or proof becomes the deciding factor. The ultimate accepted truth is what the jury decides to believe. And for that reason, the innocent can be jailed and the guilty go free. Our perception of the world ultimately defines it, and we feel and act accordingly. Some of you might have read Lynn McTaggart's work on the intention experiment or read her book, The Field. Her thesis is that there's a field outside of us that responds to our intentions. In short, what we think about, we tend to bring about. The universe responds to whatever we intend in some way. If we seek a negative view of the world, then the world faithfully reflects back to us the negative. If we seek a positive view of the world, then the universe faithfully reflects back to us that positive view. I want to try and summarize all of this. We have an arbitrariness in nature and also the possibility of a providential God simultaneously. We can support a view that life is suffering and seek deliverance by non-attachment, as the Buddhists do, or we can support a view that life is an adventure, stimulating, hope-filled, renewing, and eternal. The so-called truth is going to be elusive, but we're going to be able to find evidence for our position because the universe reflects back to us what we put out. What we think about, we tend to bring about. In other words, the game of life is amazingly complex, and there are many players on the field that we can't control. When we want to overcome fear, I think then a first step is to become adult and accept things the way they are. When we accept things as they are, we can move forward to change the things that can be changed. This is where faith comes in. And by the power of our beliefs, we can create our lives, change the world, hopefully for the better. You see, our beliefs and feelings tend to attract into our lives what we are thinking about. Scripture says, as a man thinks, so is he. This is a hard lesson, but you know, it's surprisingly neutral and fair. If we focus on the positive, then we tend to bring into reality the positive. If we focus on the negative, we bring into our lives the negative. It's up to us. Attitude is all important here. And it works like this. If we think about loving others and act to love others, others will love us. and act lovingly towards us. Reality is a mirror to our thoughts and feelings. So we do reap what we sow. Jesus is right about that. Lots of evidence on every hand for that one. You know, for me, I don't necessarily find myself in agreement with the so-called four realities that Rico puts forward as the way life is. Here's what I believe from a Christian perspective. In answer to the question, are we ultimately alone? I don't believe that. I believe God is always with us. Are all things transitory? This is only an appearance when it comes to life. Life itself is not transitory, it's actually everlasting. We go on beyond death. Is life unpredictable and unfair? Yes. But in that unpredictability lies our freedom. And you can't have love without freedom. Ever try to compel love? It doesn't work, does it? So you need to be free. And that means you need the unpredictable. Is suffering a universal experience? Although there's great suffering in life, that's not the whole story. We can also choose happiness as a worldview in a user-friendly universe. Barry Neil Kaufman says, I have chosen the user-friendly universe perspective, including a belief in a happy, loving God who is trying to make me happy and loving. He says that his early religious training championed pain and suffering as necessary and an inevitable ingredient of life, and as a genuine and curative and enlightening pathway to holding hands with the Supreme Being. But he says that although he has learned so much from pain, he's also grown spiritually much more from seeking happiness. He recognizes that his increased inner ease, self-acceptance, and happiness have allowed him a profound spiritual embrace, not available in the midst of his discomfort and desperation. And then comes this, what for me is an amazing statement. He says, in choosing a user-friendly universe, I've noticed more supportive action and opportunities around me. In choosing happiness, I've encountered a happy God. In choosing love, I've encountered a loving God. I, like Kaufman, also believe in a loving God who works all things together for good, and that's my personal faith. Is the universe closed, or does life go on after death? Do we need to fear death? No. We can't let our fear of death make our life unhappy. Why? Because life goes on the other side of death. Listen to this true story, which gives just a glimpse into what's to come after this life. Austin Goodrich, a veteran of the Second World War, was in an aerial bombardment of his company. When during a moment of silence, he heard the cry of a young rifleman called Marks. Marks called out suddenly, "Mother!" It wasn't a cry of grief, but of greeting. Austin questioned the company medic after the bombardment and asked whether the young Marks had survived. The medic said no. "But I heard him call out," Austin said. "So did I," said the medic, "but I don't know how." Many years later, at a golden reunion, Austin met a former close friend of Mark's and asked him whether he too had heard the cry. "Yes," he said, "he had." "Must have seen her in his mind's eye and called out to her," Austin suggested. "You know, I've often wondered about that," a friend replied, "because you see, Walter never knew his mother. He's never even seen her." "How's that?" said Austin. "She died in childbirth when she brought him into this world." St. Paul teaches us nothing that exists, nothing still to come, nor any power or height or depth, nor any created thing can ever come between us and the love of God. So ultimately in life, there's nothing to fear. He says all things work together for good. Why? Because there's nothing that can come between us and the love of God. Believe that, and let that belief change your life in 2023. Your tithes and offerings will now be received. We sing number 830, Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.